all believe we've run into the burning building. But until we feel that heat, we can never know. You do.
You chose to die instead of giving up your colleagues.
That test you passed? Not everybody does. Welcome to the afterlife.
To do what I do, I need some idea of the threat we face.
As I understand it, we're trying to prevent World War III.
Nuclear Holocaust?
No. Something worse.
Hello, and thank you for listening wherever you may be. This is the Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Peter.
I'm Chris.
I'm David.
And today we will be reviewing Christopher Nolan's film, Tenet. So I have Chris right here on my left, and David's online as well. And I'm thinking I'm the protagonist of this episode. I don't know if I'm really working for one of these guys, but it is yet to be known who is the antagonist of this episode.
I think they just forgot to give the guy a name or something. So they're like, oh, shit.
I know.
Oh, fuck. Protagonist. We can't reshoot everything.
All right, so Chris, what have you been up to this last month?
Oh my god, dude! Yeah, I've had like a series of shitty, unfortunate events like happen to me. I got my like truck impounded.
Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's all good. It was my mistake, and I'm a fucking idiot. I'm pretty sure I own the roads, so I usually do what I want, and I guess the police proved me otherwise.
Well, tell them what happened.
I guess you're supposed to stay at least 15 feet away from a fire hydrant. they took my truck away.
Did you get it back or no?
Yeah, I got it back. It sucked because it happened on a Friday, and they're all like, oh no, you can't get it back until Monday. And they charge per day, so I was all like, fuck.
How much was it?
It was like a little over 200.
I thought it was gonna be like 1200 or something.
Insane. Yeah, I thought so too. I was scared for my fucking life, dude.
All right, Dad, what about you?
I took my cousin and my kid out on the boat. We're riding around like Pleasant. We like stopped and everyone jumped in the water or whatever. And we got back in and I threw it in reverse and like it wouldn't move. I threw it in like forward and it wouldn't do anything. So I like tilted the engine out of the water and my propeller was gone.
Oh, are you serious?
I didn't tell you that, Peter.
No.
So I was just like, it's like the equivalent of like all of your tires going flat at the same time, right? Like you can't do shit. We're like pretty far from the shore, from the truck. But I have a little trolley motor on the front, and like my battery was charged, so we just threw the beamy top, our little canopy over us, and cruised back. It took like 2 hours to get back. And we had a badass Bluetooth speaker and cold drinks and chips and stuff. It was pretty good. It's pretty fun. It was a good day, but I still don't have a propeller on it right now. Really crazy is like the guy that I bought it from, he left me spares of everything, like everything.
Oh, shit.
And he even left me a propeller, and I just took it out of the boat because I was like, I don't want all this shit in the boat. So I actually have a spare propeller here that would have came in real handy. I've never heard of that shit. Have you guys heard of that shit happening before? Like,
no.
God damn.
It's still a good time. All right, what have you been up to, Peter?
I went to my first concert. It was kind of cool.
Who was it?
It was Nathaniel Rateliff. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
No.
All right, let's jump into first impressions. it's my pick, and I do like it. The more I watch it, I like it. But I thought it was way too much, and it was way too confusing, and I really enjoy it now after watching it like 5 or 6 times. But yeah, the first time I watched it, I was not a fan of it, though.
So the first time I watched this movie, I was really excited. I really liked Dunkirk, and I really liked Inception. And, of course, most of Christopher Nolan's works have been, like, really amazing and stellar, you know? Especially since he did Interstellar. I was excited for another sci-fi movie. But I went into this, and I absolutely hated it.
I was just going to say, I was going to be like, except for Interstellar, that one sucks, right? I was trying to
interrupt you. That was good. Yeah, they give me shit because that's like my favorite movie.
Yeah, but man, this movie, it just... I watched this movie once before the podcast. And yeah, I thought it was like too confusing, too frustrating, too convoluted, too... complicated to
I thought so too the first time I saw it.
Yeah, and so Peter told me like, oh, just watch it a few more times and you probably you'll start to like understand like more of it like little by little and you'll enjoy it. And the more I watched it, the more frustrated I became with it, because it just brings up, I just kept having more questions than answers, you know, from watching this movie, trying to understand it. So that was my experience.
What about you, Devin? I think I know who the antagonist is going to be.
I like the story a lot of it. I think it's an original story, you know. The best way I can describe it is like a good story that wasn't told well, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
No shit. This is going to be a rough one. I don't think there is a movie I put out there that I was the only one I liked so far.
Just kidding. It's not a bad... I am a Christopher Nolan fan. I don't think everything he does is amazing, though. He has some stinkers in there. But there's a lot of reasons why this movie... isn't great, though. Like, some of them are small and some of them are big, but I enjoyed watching it. But like, it is too confusing. And
so how many times I watched it twice.
The first time, and I stayed up late. I was like, it's kind of late, I'll probably watch half of it. But I was intrigued by it, and there's just some stuff that happens in it, both story-wise and I guess director-wise, that was I had problems with. But it's an intriguing story, to say.
So this is the first time you've seen it before the podcast?
This is the first time I've ever seen it. I hadn't seen it before Peter told us that we had to watch it. So, and I just heard stories. People like, it's confusing as fuck. I didn't like it. I was like, okay. Yeah, I never heard someone say it's fucking amazing or I liked it a lot. I never even heard that, you know?
Yeah. So I'm the first person that said that.
I don't think it's a... Well, so I guess... But I did enjoy... I was intrigued by it, and I stayed up until like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was tired the next day at work because I wanted to finish it, right? And then what Chris was saying is like, some of this movie, they'll say a line, and if you didn't get it or understand it or even hear them say it, then you're kind of fucked. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and they don't come back to it, and they just accept that you accepted it. You know what I mean? Which I don't mind that much, but like they're saying things. They say it with words, and then, but they're not showing it. They have, like, this is such a complex movie. They should be saying things and showing it at the same time. You know what I mean?
And I literally had to watch this movie with subtitles.
I did too.
Like to like really understand what they were saying. Yeah.
Christopher Nolan doesn't have the best track record for audible speech. Like, if you think about Bane and you think about Batman, a lot of it's hard to hear, you know? And the soundtrack is pretty overpowering as well. But I did have, in all honesty, I put the subtitles on it, and I had to read every single line too. Because, but more than that, all of the lines are extremely important as well.
Yeah.
With this movie, it seemed like you needed someone that was so dedicated to detail, like the Shining director, you know what I mean? Where he'd make you pull out the carpet and then bring it back in. And what's his name? I don't even remember.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, who's a fanatic, right?
Yeah. Like, but isn't that kind of cool, though?
Not when you don't know what's happening, though. The story is, I really like the story, and I was like blown away when they're going back. He's like, we're gonna attack this from both forward and backwards. I was like, that is fucking cool. Like, I've never heard of that. I've never seen it. We're sci-fi fans, and it was really cool. So a lot of this movie has some really cool shit in it. But like,
yeah, when after I saw it the first time, I didn't like it, and then I read a review like it deserves a second watch and a third watch and a fourth watch. So I was like, fuck it, I'll try it again. And then I was like, oh, okay, it's okay. And then Audrey wanted to watch it, and then it got better every time for me. And I picked this movie because I know David likes cerebral movies. So David, this was a pick for you just to see if I shot like a shot in the dark. That's
funny. It's not I like the story of it, I'll say that.
It's pretty unique, you know, and it's different.
There are like movies that are meant to be better when you watch them over and over again. I guess this one might be better. I don't know. I did understand it more the second time I watched it because I wasn't trying to pay attention as much, you know.
Okay, so now let's jump straight into the characters. Okay.
Okay.
So, one of the reasons I didn't want to watch this movie was because of Robert Pattinson, like the teen heartthrob from all the.
He's a good actor.
Well, this is probably the first movie I've seen him in that
I was enjoyed. In Twilight or something. Or?
Well, I just kind of avoided him, in all honesty.
Yeah.
The protagonist, the John David Washington, Denzel Washington's son.
Oh, I didn't know that was his son.
Yeah, oh, shit. It was pretty fucking cool to see a African American as a main actor for this movie, right?
Yeah,
that was really fucking cool. And then Chris, do you know Elizabeth how you say
Debicki,
do you know where she's from?
No.
I might be wrong, but I think she's from Thor. No, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. She's like the gold princess.
Oh, lady. That is her. Yeah.
It was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Kenneth Branagh and Aaron Taylor Johnson, and of course, Michael Caine, like he's in all those other movies, right?
Yeah.
All right, Chris, anybody want to talk about or you didn't like or you liked?
Yeah, John David Washington, he played his part well, you know, and it was pretty cool to see an African-American actor play a spy. A
blockbuster movie, too, you know?
Like, I don't know, like, I don't think we've seen, like, any, like, black actors, like, play any, like, leading spy movie thrillers, you know. That was pretty cool to see. But and kind of like you, Peter, like I kind of get annoyed by Robert Pattinson, you know, because he is the heartthrob, you know, that everybody says he is. But he actually surprised me in this movie. Like I think I liked him more than John David Washington in this movie.
Yeah, I avidly like avoided him. And I'm not saying he's my favorite actor, but I won't avoid him anymore.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But anybody you disliked, Chris?
No, I don't think I disliked anybody, you know. Kenneth Branagh, he was like, he put on like a powerhouse, like, you know, showcase of acting, you know, in this movie. Like, he was just, you know, like, even like how he says, like, he's like a tiger in this movie. He's like fucking ferocious and shit, you know, like. Like, he's somebody you just don't fuck with, and he played it well. I like the look of Aaron Taylor Johnson in this movie. Like, normally he's kind of like the clean cut, you know, kind of like cute, movie character. But, you know, he had a scruffy beard. He kind of had the military look, you know. I'm like, I enjoy this character. I just couldn't get over Elizabeth Debicki or Kat. Her character in the movie, I couldn't get over the size of her neck.
Oh yeah, that's Well, it's the same as in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, right? But like in that movie, like I don't know, like it just wasn't that accentuated, you know, like as it is in this movie. I was just like, holy shit, man, she's like a fucking giraffe.
But how do you like her acting, though?
Oh no, yeah, she's awesome. Yeah.
Right. Right. I'm looking at IMDb. And I don't see the main bad guy on the cast.
That's Kenneth Branagh.
It's weird. I don't see him. I liked him a lot.
He's Sator.
I gotta say, I've seen some really good movies with Robert Pattinson. I've seen some good movies with him in it. And I haven't watched the Twilight movies, any of them. I think I did watch 5 minutes of one and I just laughed at it because it was like really funny.
Yeah.
And then like everyone,
I went to the fucking theater, dude, to see that.
I forget who was watching it, but someone was watching it when some of the girls, and I laughed at it and they yelled at me to leave. But I've seen him play with William Dafoe.
In The Lighthouse.
Yeah, I've seen him in like small movies, big movies. I've never disliked him in anything I've seen so far. And he seems like a good actor. But I will say, like the rest of the people in this movie, I wasn't loving them. It wasn't that fun watching John David Washington as like the primary role. Like I wasn't in love watching the actors. The roles that they were playing were fine and everything, but I didn't feel like he's fun enough to watch, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that's super harsh or whatever.
But for me, I kind of liked I'm going to say his name wrong, Himesh Patel.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty cool to see him. And then
he plays a really small role in the movie.
He does, but I liked it. I liked it nonetheless.
Yeah. Is this vegetarian? This looks like vegetarian.
But it was good acting.
Yeah.
And then, I'm going to say her name wrong, Clemence Posey.
Yeah.
I liked her as a scientist.
Well, yeah, she was pretty.
She was good. Yeah.
She was interesting, you know. She was, except the only part is that, like, because in this movie, there's a lot of different accents. And her accent, along with her low tone of voice, and she's saying so much important shit. I'm all like, fucking enunciate, girl. Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
You know, the funny part about, like, the most important thing she said, I think, was don't try to understand it, just accept it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's literally my favorite line.
She didn't say don't listen to me, though. She's like, accept the words that I'm saying. You have to hear them, though.
I liked it. I liked it.
It's like I'm on my lunch break. Let's go through this real quick, okay?
All right. So let's jump straight into best line, worst line, okay? So let's start with David. What was your best line of this film?
Best line is when the main bad guy thinks he's the protagonist is sleeping with his wife. So he says, how would you like to die? And the protagonist says, old.
I
got that as my best line. Yeah. All right. Let's. You got anything on that, Chris?
No, that was a really good line. I thought I've heard that line before, though.
I've never heard it.
It sounds familiar.
It's smart. But
it's like, what does it mean? What does it mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's smart because, like, he's like threatening him with his life, and he says a joke because of it. You know what I mean? It's a good.
It's like an insult almost, kind of.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, let's go with your worst line as well.
All right, so this is not a bad line, but it's the worst line because, so the line is when he's talking to Michael Caine and they're eating, right?
Yeah.
And Michael Caine's like, if you're gonna act like a millionaire, you can't dress from like shit, right? And then he offers to give him like a business card, like a tailor. The protagonist says, "You British don't have a monopoly on snobbery." like it just, I don't know. It feels like Christopher Nolan's really trying to make him 007. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that whole, it just rubbed me wrong real bad. And it wasn't a stupid line, but it just felt like you want a super well-dressed, it feels like they're trying to make 007, and I'm a big 007.
Okay. Well, something on that I gotta say is that he has to pull off being a billionaire, right? To get close to the contact, to get to the wife and to the husband. So he did have to pull that off, right?
Yeah.
You're right. I'm just saying, I'm a big-time 007 fan, you know? And it feels like they're trying to make him into, like 007 or, like, a Mary Sue who can just do everything, you know what I mean? It'd have been cooler if he was just like, all right, let me get the card, you know what I mean? it's nitpicky. I don't think anyone else would have a problem with that line. It's just me.
Well, that's not too bad, I guess.
No, it's not. What about you,
Chris? I actually like the following line that Michael Caine says to him after
we don't have a monopoly, but we have a controlling interest.
Yeah. I thought that was a clever comeback.
This is good.
All right, Chris, your best and worst line.
Okay. So my best line, we just talked about it. It's when Laura, or I think his name is Clements Posey, the actress. When John David Washington, or the protagonist, goes and meets the female scientist, and she's explaining everything to him about inverted technology and all that shit, and she says to him, "Don't try to understand it." And that was, if I could give one piece of advice to anybody out there who hasn't seen this movie, I would repeat this line to them. Don't try to understand it.
Did you? So you do hate this movie, Chris, or was that an understatement?
I guess I don't hate it because I like some of the ideas and principles, and I can't think of one science fiction movie that I hate, you know, and. I guess I can't hate this movie, but it just frustrates the fuck out of me, man.
Well, something on that, kind of a weird thing, is that if Christopher Nolan made a film about sitting at a table and eating breakfast, it would lose a lot of people because he crammed so much shit into it, right? Okay. What I'm trying to say is that the concept of this movie is not even complicated, I don't think. It is somewhat, I'll give it that, but it moves so fast and so hard that it just loses you so quick. I think that's what's confusing about it.
It's hard.
I think David hit the nail on the head. You know, it's just it's a unique and cool idea. It just wasn't told well. You know,
for me, when I read a book and an author introduces 10 characters in the first paragraph. There's no fucking way I'm going to remember anyone's name. You know what I mean?
And starting a flowchart and shit. For real.
I'm serious. I'll put the book down. But, he says stuff, and if you didn't catch it, he does not repeat it. And that's not a fallacy storytelling, but the way that it's delivered, you know what I mean? It's not, we didn't understand. I had to rewind it a couple times. And I'm pretty sure that's pretty common. I haven't read any other reviews on this movie, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think I might be wrong, but I know a couple of actors complained about The Dark Knight, and they're like, "Did I need a fucking degree to understand what the hell happened at the end of the movie?" You know, and that one wasn't even that's not even half as complicated as this film.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we don't have to keep harping on the.
That's probably the biggest point of why a lot of people don't like this movie. But what I gotta say is that Christopher Nolan tries to keep you on the edge of your seat and paying attention the whole fucking time. And he wants you. I was reading something he doesn't want you to feel comfortable and all cozy on the couch. He wants you to be in the movie and at the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
But
okay, let me go to my worst line.
Yeah.
So my worst line. Was when he meets with what's her name, Kat, and they're having dinner, and then the goons come in and they take him to the kitchen to beat his ass. And when he walks into it, he says,
hot sauce
reference. Yeah, I ordered my hot sauce an hour ago. And then there was like a couple scenes in this movie where they just gave the main character like a like silly stupid lines like that, you know.
It is silly and stupid. It's not like horse shit, right?
Yeah, and it's almost like a stereotype, you know? Like, why the fuck did Christopher Nolan give like that line to him, you know? Why couldn't he give him like something a lot smarter, you know, something more clever for him to come back at them with, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm actually pretty happy because the complaints that you guys are sent for aren't really that like hard hitting, you know?
Yeah.
It is a stupid line, and I think that's like just like a defense mechanism, like a dad joke.
Right? Yeah.
He's going into it. All right, so
Peter's best and worst.
All right, my best line was when Neil at the end of the movie, where he's in that whole dialogue with the protagonist, and he tells him, "Just let me go." He says exactly, "Now let me go," because the protagonist knows that he's going to go back down there and die, right?
Yeah.
And Neil's like, "Now let me go," and he knows he can't hear too much, or else his future is going to be changed. He doesn't want to know everything, right?
Yeah.
And the protagonist is all over there crying because he knows he's walking to his death. That was my favorite line. David, did you even realize that was happening?
Yeah, I caught that.
Okay, making sure. Because I didn't even catch that the first time. I was like, what the
fuck is happening? Yeah, I didn't catch that either. I was all like...
And then the worst line, my worst line of this film, which I kind of hate a lot, was right after that scene, he goes to Priya's car, her vehicle, and they're just waiting for that cat to go get her son, you know?
Yeah.
And the protagonist sits in the back seat and, you know, shoots her, and he says, "Mission accomplished." I was like, who the fuck is he talking to?
That's your worst. Yourself? That's your worst.
Yeah, it was so dumb. Like, it just irked me like crazy. I was just waiting for somebody to respond, like, okay, good job. It was done.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Like, it's like there's nothing that somebody would say in that situation, you know? Like, mission accomplished is just like saying, like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem realistic.
I would have liked it a lot more if he just didn't.
Well, I think all of our worst lines are real nitpicky. Like, real nitpicky.
Yeah, which is good, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll keep it moving. You got anything on any of that, David, or could we move on?
No, I don't got nothing.
All right, so let's go with Chris this time. Chris, because we have so much to talk about with this movie, and I just want to get these out of the way real quick. So, Chris, what was your best and worst scene?
So... You're going to be mad at me, Peter. I actually didn't have a best scene.
Oh, my gosh.
I was trying, like, my hardest to, like, find something I actually loved about this movie. And I couldn't do it, man. I'm like, from the very beginning, like, the action wasn't even for Christopher Nolan. Maybe because I, like, set my standards, like, too high for a Christopher Nolan movie. Mm-hmm. But... You know, I was expecting, like, you know, like in the beginning of, like, The Dark Knight, you know, you get that, you know, infamous, like, Joker scene, you know, like, to start the movie. Or, like, Inception, you know, like, you got, like buildings, like, being flipped over, like, and, you know, like, I was looking for something that, like, that blows my mind, you know, like, something that was, like, so visually, like, intriguing that, like, it just leaves me speechless. And for me, I was watching a movie being told halfway and then being rewound and like being told backwards.
Okay.
And that
I got a question.
That didn't really like astound me at all.
Alright, so I got a question for you, Chris.
Okay.
Okay. And I totally see that, right?
Okay.
My question is, if you sat down and just watched this movie, and it wasn't a Christopher Nolan film, like, did you go in with high expectations, or you just let down because it was a Christopher Nolan film? That's my question.
I think it is because it is Christopher Nolan. And I was expecting something, you know, I was expecting, like, Interstellar, like, on steroids or some shit. You know, like, I was just, like, something, like, so out of the box, you know, like, so, well, I guess it was out of the box, but it just, it wasn't enough to wow me, you know, like, it was just.
It's not his best. I don't think it's his, it's not my favorite movie.
Yeah, like, as far as, like, you know, visuals, like, there's nothing really that, like, you know, catches the eye that, like, you know, all the fight scenes are, like, basic fight scenes, you know, like, other than the backwards fighting, you know, but, or reverse fighting. Like, I mean, if that's all there is to this movie, as far as action goes, then it's not really, like, it doesn't do it for me, you know?
Yeah, I could see that valid complaint. On your worst scene.
Oh, my worst scene was the end battle scene.
Oh!
Like, it is just too confusing, for me at least, because at that point, it's hard to tell, like, who's inverted and who's not inverted, and they're switching back and forth, like, during the battle scenes, and their stories are being told forward in time. Each team is being told in their own perspective of being in a conventional reality, but to them, the opposite team is inverted. So, I think.
Can I make an observation, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. If the dialogue was clearer and the story was told better, do you think that scene would still be horrible?
It's still not a great scene, you know, okay. Because this is supposed to be like the end battle scene where, like, you know, nuclear, like, time holocaust is supposed to happen, and you just don't get the feel that the end of the world is near, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
So that was your best and worst scene?
Yeah.
Or just worst?
Yeah, just worst, because I have the best.
Okay, scene. So your worst is my best.
Ah, man, are you serious?
Yeah, I think the concept of it is amazing. That, like, you have this military presence that's like, we're going to attack it. We want full control over everything. So we're going to attack it from both directions. From, like, time, we're going to go back in time and hit it backwards and forwards. Just the concept of that was insane, right? Like, that's insane. And then, like, it's just confusing, but, like, not, like, visually watching it, was kind of cool when he sees an exploded wall and he knows it's going to explode. So he's yelling at, you know what I mean? Like, it hasn't exploded yet. And he's going back in time. So he's trying to save his comrade from getting exploded. Right. Like, shit like that. Like, that was my favorite. Okay. the worst scene. There's some, like, dumb parts in the movie. For, like, as good of a story it is, there's some dumb shit in it. Like, but that could have been left out. That wouldn't have made it, like, how the hell does the protagonist, like, this is like James Bond super villain. He's trying to end the world, right? That's like a super villain thing, right? Like, how the fuck does he get, like, a 9mm on his yacht, right? Like, how the fuck does he get a gun on there? Like, that is ridiculous. Am I wrong in that? Like, he has a gun in his cabin, right? Like, in his little pouch. That's fucking, I rolled my eyes at that. I was like, if this guy's.
Well, how did he get it on? How did he get on there? Chris, he saved his life, right?
Yeah, he did save his life, but he's not gonna, like, this guy, like, this guy's, it's really ridiculous.
Wow, that is really picky, though. No,
it's like that's some dumb shit. He's
like,
got like how many bodyguards and all that shit. Like, there's no way. Think about like
every 007 movie.
This guy knows. This guy can go back and forward in time. I wouldn't have a problem if he cracked someone's neck, Steven Seagal style, and picked up someone's gun. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But the fact like he snuck a 9mm on board was kind of fucking dumb. You gotta admit that, right?
I don't. That's like okay. So fucking weird to nitpick.
Well, am I wrong? It didn't ruin the movie. I'm just saying it's dumb. I'm just saying that's dumb.
Holy shit.
Dude.
I don't know. I kind of gave it a pass, you know, because like, to me, he didn't sneak anything. He just like brought it on board with him. Like,
yeah,
they would have checked it, don't you think?
Well, I don't know, because he's at that point he's already revealed to him that he wants to do like an arms or a nuclear or plutonium like
swap
deal, you know?
Yeah,
so he's like. They're like both bad guys at that point, you know?
Yeah, to me, it was like understood that he'd have it on him regardless.
Yeah. That seems kind of. All right. I agree to disagree. So that was, that was my best and worst. Okay. All right.
That was your worst?
That was my worst scene. It seems like this guy that can go back in time and forward in time and all that shit wants complete control over everything. Just like let this dude that he doesn't know have a gun sleep in the other room. It just seems kind of silly.
There's a lot of dislikes of this movie, obviously, online and whatnot. But everything you said so far, what you guys said so far, is completely what everybody else dislikes about it, too.
I wouldn't that scene bothered me. I didn't think it was fucking horrible, and I didn't like throw my hands up at it. I thought it was silly as shit. So, you know what I mean? Like,
okay, yeah.
Like, what's the movie with Obi-Wan where he's like killing ghosts and shit?
Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, that's a really good movie. But do you remember at the end? Do you remember how he kills everyone with the guns and his friends? They're all shooting everybody, right?
Yeah.
Why the fuck doesn't he have a gun at the end of the movie? Like when he's going back to the thing. like he just murdered successfully a bunch of ghosts. And then like he's not going to have a gun. Like he's passing through a lot of red states. You know what I mean? Like he can pick up a gun at Walmart and just end it. That's a dumb thing. Like it worked. Nothing in the movie that says why he can't pick up a gun and shoot her.
I try not to. Like if I get that critical, I won't enjoy any movie.
I know, but they showed it in the movie. They showed it in the movie before
that. Yeah, it's a valid point. I just let a lot slide.
That's cool. All right. I'm sorry.
So no, it's fine. It was expected.
I didn't think it was horrible. I just had a problem with it. And it didn't like bring it down. I just thought it was dumb.
Okay, my best scene was the end fight scene like David.
Oh, my God.
In all honesty, I like this movie a lot, but there's not a lot of great scenes in it. And that one was visually cool because you had that guy in the building collapsing in on him when he was inside of it. Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
And you have like these guys marching backward and forward and explosions imploding and exploding at the same time. That was cool. What I did not like about the movie is where you see a bird flying and it's just rewound, right?
Yeah.
You know, that really irked me because it should not have showed that shit. But my worst scene, that was almost my worst scene. Oh, I guess it is because I put down I don't have a worst scene, but that bird flying, it was just a cheap trick. Unless there's something I don't know and they actually got that bird to fly backwards.
It looked cool though. It didn't look cool.
No.
It looked cool. You don't think it looked cool?
No. The bird?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about the end fight scene?
No, the bird. I mean the bird.
No, I don't think it looked cool.
Yeah.
All right.
They're also calling backwards.
So that was your worst scene is the bird? If you had to pick
one? Yeah. So I got some questions for you guys. Is it cool?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Jump in.
Are we going to deep dive now?
No, he's
no,
just
not, not deep dive. Questions. I just want to ask you guys some questions.
Okay.
So is Neil the sun?
Which one's Neil?
I read that theory.
Robert Pattinson.
Is he
Kat's son? Kat's and Sator's son. What do you think, David?
No, because he's moving forward in time. Like, they don't time travel back 30 years, right?
Like, they can.
I think he would have to travel 30 years back, though. It's not like it.
Yeah.
But he'd have to travel back in time 30 years, though, is what I'm saying. Like,
yep, that's true.
But, like, he'd have to walk back, so he'd be, like, 60 by the time he got back. You know what I mean?
If that makes sense. You don't know when he started going back. You know, he could have started going back when he was, like, 14.
Because he tells him, like, in the end, he's all like, for you, it's like, for me, it's like, or for you, it's like weeks ago. But for me, it's been years.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, well, do you think it is, Chris, or no?
I hope so, you know, because it makes the story, like, that much more intriguing, you know? And I wish that they would, you know, I kind of get why they didn't show that, like, the future. But I really wish that they would have, you know?
It's kind of
like in Looper, you know, like the movie Looper. You kind of hope to see, like, because they talk about the future, they show all the technology about the future, and you see the antagonist. They talk about the antagonist in the future. Like, how come they don't show it? You know, I wish in movies like this they would show that shit. Mm. You know,
that would be cool.
Yeah, if he was, then I would like this would be one of my favorite movies. Because, like, I don't understand why he gives a shit about this woman, like, at all. Like, he's trying to save the universe from imploding upon itself, and he takes on, like, this woman's, like really personally. I mean, it seems really dumb.
Well, we're talking about Neil, right?
I know, but I'm talking John about Washington. The protagonist, like... Like, I would like this movie way more if what your theory is true, then I would like this movie a lot.
Let me tell you why I think, like, he is the son, okay? One, at the very beginning of the movie, right, where he gets introduced, he asks him, like, right out, would you, like, harm a mother or a woman and a child? He asks him that.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one. Two, probably the most important of the whole movie, is he knows where Sator is going to be. And the protagonist says, how do you know that? You know, he says, oh, he's going to be on his yacht at this place, you know, on time. And he says, the protagonist says, how do you know that? He doesn't answer it. Because he knows if he says anything, it could fuck everything up, right?
Yeah.
And then the most important... which I think that's the reason he's a son, is because his name... Okay, so Tenet is spelled the same forward and backward, right?
Okay.
They chose Neil because that's his name spelled backwards. This is his last four digits of his name spelled backwards. Maximilian in French or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's why I think he's a son. Hmm. But it doesn't say definitely if it is or not, right?
No, it doesn't, you know. It's, I don't know. I only read that theory online, you know. I never would have guessed it, you know, if I hadn't read it online, you know.
Yeah, that's me watching it five times.
There's stuff in movies that are better left ambiguous. That's not, like at the end of Inception, when you don't know if he's in a dream or not, that's a good ending. Yeah. This didn't, like, it didn't, I wish they would have left that ambiguous, right? Like,
well, they did.
No, they didn't even show you the question, though. They didn't even give you the option to guess that. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I like this movie, is because you have to be, like, engaged fully to even...
I would never guess that.
Like, after the third time watching, I was like, holy shit, is that his son? Is he the kid? Went back to save his mom?
I didn't even put it together, you know, up until, like, I read it online, you know?
But if you guys... I don't think you guys will watch it again. But if you do, at the end, the protagonist is like, how do you know that? And he knows if he fucks it up.
Besides the, like, take out... Say it was a girl, like, James Pattinson was a girl. Mm-hmm. And he says, how do you know that? It's because that guy can time travel and he knows everything, though. That's why he knows
it. Or he was there.
Yeah, but you're kind of fitting that to your idea, though. He knows everything, though. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Well, what I'm saying is that it's nice that it is left ambiguous. But that's what I choose to believe, right?
Ambiguous is giving you something and letting you, like, they didn't offer that to the whole audience, though, is what I'm saying. It's like an Easter egg. It's more of an Easter egg than left as an ambiguous question to everybody.
Okay. So this is way off topic. Okay.
Okay.
And one of my friends told me this for Interstellar. Do you remember that part in Interstellar where he's fighting Matt Damon?
Yeah.
And Matt Damon tells him, he says, right before you die, you kind of like piece everything together and you let yourself believe that you're going out like in a good way or something like that, something to that extent.
Okay.
So a lot of people think that like he really died there and everything happened beyond that point. Really didn't happen.
You know what I mean? Oh, shit.
But, like he really just lost oxygen and just passed away.
But that's not something that's ambiguous though.
No, it's not. But it's just like it's a cerebral movie.
Yeah. Right? But you can like take, I don't
like that, five different meanings from it.
Okay. All right.
That's what I like about his films, I'm trying to say. Alright, so that was my question. That was my first question for you guys.
Okay.
My second question was, do you think that lady is the scientist? The doomsday device?
Do I do the what?
What was her name?
Laura? Laura?
Do you think that she's the scientist?
Why
in the future that killed herself?
Yeah.
Why would you think that?
I just think it because they said, well, one, it was a female that did it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then two, she's probably the most experienced with it all. Right? I don't know. It was just a stupid question.
Okay.
I have like I got like 10 different questions like that that are rolling in my head for this movie. Chris looks really in-depth thought
right now. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, I'm trying to, like, piece it together. Like, if, I don't know. Like, how does, if she's the scientist that put it together.
She could have inverted the shit and started sending it back, you know? Or anybody could have at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a mind fuck, right?
Yeah. Because it's like, I don't know. It's really fucking weird. I don't know. The question I have, though, is, like, why, like, how does Andre Sator?
Yeah.
Who gives him the
technology?
Yeah.
It doesn't say. It does say it's a group of, like, believers that think that if they destroy the past, then the future will be better, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't say specifically this guy or that guy. It's just a group of individuals who want to put that device together and destroy the beginning, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't say exactly who.
Okay. What are the questions you got there?
All right. So what do you guys think about the beginning of the movie? Where after they caught the protagonist and they're pulling out his teeth and shit, he jumps down there and tries to take that pill out of the guy's mouth. You guys like that at all?
I liked it. It was good.
It was kind of cool, no?
I liked it.
I wasn't too impressed by it, you know. I liked the music that played during it, you know.
Yeah.
Remember the guy after that says you're not the first one that's had this test, and he also says like not everyone passes it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he had that test and he didn't pass it. The other guy that's saying it, you know, he says it kind of like maybe depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I like that scene a lot because like his whole team fucking died, and he was crying because he thought he was dead, you know, or beyond that point already.
Yeah,
he didn't know it was like all his teammates probably took that pill hoping to die too, you know what I mean? But or couldn't even make it that far, and the guy was putting it behind his back and shit, flashing it to him so he could just take it. That was fucking cool.
Yeah.
All right, man, I'm just gonna say a whole bunch of cool shit.
Go ahead.
All right, let's see. That was most of everything I had so far.
It's fucked up how they left the bombs in the cheap seats, huh? Remember that?
Yeah. you know, I'll leave everything else for my deep dive. Do you guys want to say anything else before we go deep dive?
I think I'm ready for a deep dive.
How about we do a movie quote?
All right, so dear listeners, this is the part of the podcast where one of us is going to say a quote from a famous movie, and then the other two hosts will try to guess what that movie is from. And you can play along with us. So, David, what is your movie quote?
Okay, it's kind of long. Let's see if you guys get it. I'm probably not going to read the whole thing. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's too long. Took you long enough to get here. Took you 10 years to get to my house. Huh? What's the matter? You don't like my house? Does it stink?
Oh, I know it is.
That's right. It stinks. I don't have no favors from you. Don't slum around me. All right. I'm going to stop right there.
What is it, Chris?
I have no fucking idea. God, I'm so bad at things. We'll give
it a couple seconds. I'll read it one more time for the listeners, okay?
Yeah.
That's a long one.
Yeah, that's not even half of it.
Jesus.
Took you long enough to get here. Took you 10 years to get to my house. What's the matter? You don't like my house? Does my house stink? That's right, it stinks. I don't have no favors from you. Don't slum around me. All right.
You don't like my house, it stinks.
Yeah.
That's right, it stinks. You don't like my house? Come around here. It's Rocky.
Oh, shit.
When Mickey's going to him.
Do you remember that? When he's asking him to be his coach.
God, yeah. I was thinking like Goodfellas or some shit.
Do you remember the scene though, Chris?
That was a good fucking scene.
No, I don't remember that scene.
It's like Rocky got offered the title match and he's not even boxing at that time. So Mickey comes to his house in the middle of the night. And he's like, you need a manager. I didn't have any management. That's why I got hurt. You need a manager. And then he's just like, Rocky's mad because he kicked him out of the gym earlier.
Yeah.
That's a rough scene.
It's a good fucking
scene. It's probably one of the best scenes of the movie. Okay.
All right. So we'll start. I'll start this time because I'm probably going to only have the good stuff to say for this movie. All right, deep dive time. All right, like I said, this movie it pushes the boundary, and I think if his future movies are this complicated, he's going to lose a lot of views because it's too much, I think. And a lot of people won't watch this 5 times.
No. You know?
I don't think a lot of people will. I enjoyed it. I do think it's a little too much for me. Too compact, moving too fast, and just too confusing. But I think it's like threading the line right there, you know?
Yeah.
But I gotta give him props on like how much thought he put into this shit. You know, when they go into the device that, how do you say it? That inverts him?
Yeah.
He's like, look at the other side. Don't go in if you don't come out. It's like, that's fucking crazy. Like how much thought they put into that shit, right?
Yeah.
I'll say yes, but like, He's missing the fundamentals of the storytelling. He's so intrigued by the other aspects of it that he's missing clear storytelling stuff. You know,
yeah, I could see that. I agree. I'll agree with that. The other thing I gotta say that I really enjoyed about this movie was it shows time travel in a completely different way, right?
Yeah.
You're not going back 30 years, right? You're not going back to see your, you know, great uncle, you know, get married or something like that. And it's not instantaneous. You gotta, like, work back through it, right? So I thought that was really clever and really cool.
That's what I was asking is, like, how can someone, if that happened way in the future, how the heck can that lady go way into the future? She can't move forward through time way into the future and live another 100 years, right? She can only go.
But it doesn't say how far in the future, you know? Or maybe it did. But she could have created the device, Laura. She could have created the device in the next 20 years and then killed herself, and then the people could have wanted to go back in time to that certain point, right?
Yeah.
I talked about how the beginning was fucking cool. How those guys, like, he helped him try to commit suicide. The dialogue at the end of the movie, where the protagonist is talking to to Sador, Kenneth Branagh's character, and he's like trying to convince him to stop, you know, the end of the world pretty much. And he's like, "You got a son." He's like, "Bringing a son into this world is my greatest mistake. Do you think I'll be forgiven?" Like, that moved quick, but he had that conversation in his head like 100 times, yeah. Like a million times probably, right?
Yeah.
I like that end dialogue. I think it was spot on. Kenneth Branagh, his acting was fucking cool to see. As a villain, right?
Yeah.
If I can't have you, no one can.
I know.
All right, so let's go with you, David.
Okay. I think it was cool to see a new story. It was cool to see like a new sci-fi thing that you've never seen before. The way that they did time travel was really fun. Just the whole story of it. And it was, I like complex movies, and it made me think and stuff, and that was fun. That's all the good, I'd say. And then I got some bad stuff. So, yeah. It's a good story. It's a fun story. And I was like really intrigued in the story. You know what I mean? Which is very rare, especially nowadays, right? Anyways, let's see. I thought it was dumb that he was like so taken with this woman, like when the fate of the world was on his hands, right?
Yeah.
But if it doesn't make sense why he gives a shit about this woman, unless he knew somehow that he needed the kid's help to save the planet, right? And that would be cool. But all right, but
what do you think about that, Chris? What do you think about him like putting up with
prioritizing lady when he's trying to stop Armageddon?
It's pretty typical of like, you know, the
blockbuster movies.
Yeah, it is, but this isn't a typical movie though. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's all good. I just think Christopher Nolan's, even though he does have like these, you know, out of box ideas, you know, like he does stick to some conventional like techniques when it comes to his movies, you know, like there's always going to be a good guy and a bad guy, and he's going to try to stop him. Like there's always going to be a damsel in distress, and the protagonist has always got to like, you know, put them before himself, you know, yeah. And it's always got to like come down to like him doing something stupid, you know, to screw it up, like as far as like putting, you know, this lady ahead of the mission, you know.
it kind of fits the storyline because he did go back in and save those guys in the theater, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't one lady, and like
he didn't give a shit about her until she complained about him though, like not giving a shit about her. And like he like fell for her, it seems like.
I think he cares about her because he put her in the situation. He used her to get to him.
I don't hate it. I think it was dumb. But yeah. Let me finish with my deep dive real quick. Okay. Let me see. Okay, so like when he's fighting himself in the
airport.
Yeah, when his other self is wearing like a SWAT team outfit, right?
Yeah.
That was cool. It just went on way too long. It's a fucking long fight scene. And like,
yeah.
Like it is cool, but there is like a limit to how long. Like it's so long, it's silly. It's that long. Okay. It would be a lot cooler if it wasn't that long. And then it kind of felt like he got a new shiny toy and wanted to play with it real bad, right?
Yeah, I think I'd like it a lot. Well, I think it'd be better if it was like half of it.
Yeah. Why does he pull the trigger at the gun at himself?
I don't know. Because that's his future self and he's looking at him, right? Like he wouldn't be pulling the trigger.
I know.
I'll figure it out at the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I think it was kind of silly that the henchman's all down to blow up the universe. Like, the henchman's sitting there. He's like, just, oh, it'd be hard to that's a good worker, right? You don't get too many workers that are down to do anything.
Like, well, okay, so I got something on
I'm
that,
really right? curious how Peter's going to defend this one.
All right, so that henchman, right? Like, it could have been a lot of people that were inverted from the future, right? That came back to do this job. Probably because they saw their families go through a lot of shit. Or see how the world was becoming at that point, right? It could have been... I don't think anybody would do that because they got paid a couple $1,000s or $100,000 to destroy the world. It takes like a faction of people who believe that they're doing ultimately good. I don't know.
So you think he was part of that original group of like fanatics that...
He probably saw through the looking glass and wanted to take some action against what the future was, right? And that's why I kind of like the verbiage when the protagonist was talking to Sator, where he's like, every generation has to watch out for themselves, which I don't believe in, but it was kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
But I'm obviously sticking up for this movie, but I'm sorry, Dad, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, most of that stuff, I kind of, besides him having a gun on the yacht, I think that was dumb as shit. But all the other stuff's pretty nitpicky. Like, yeah, I can see someone giving a shit about a woman that they put in jeopardy. Yeah, I can see that. But when he puts it up as high as saving the planet, that's what I have a problem with. You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't falling off a ledge and he ran over there and picked her back up and then went to save the world again. Like, he's actively prioritizing her. You know what I mean? Which is like there's a lot of other people living still on the planet that are just as important. Okay.
Yeah, it kind of comes down to that question of like, and it's not, it doesn't equal what you're saying because what you're saying is correct. But it kind of comes down to the question is, how many people do you sacrifice to save the whole world?
Right? But
It's not comparable, and I agree with it. What I'm saying is he put her in a situation to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, but he can save her and the world can die, though, right? Like, he doesn't he save... It's not... Yeah. Like, his priority's okay wrong. He would not be okay with her dying, though. That's the point. Like, he can't save her and then the world explodes and then he's okay with that.
Well, I don't think he'd be able to live with it if the world was good and she died, is what I'm trying to say.
I think that he'd be really bad agent. Okay, so that's my deep dive. Did Chris already do his deep dive?
No, I need to go still.
Oh, shit. Peter's going to walk away for half an hour.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm about to go off, dude. I'm going to go off like an inverted round, dude. Okay, so...
inverted round.
For me, this movie falls apart after when he first inverts himself.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he gets into the inversion door or whatever, and he comes out the other end, and the lady, the soldier, I forget her name, but like she's explaining to him how an inverted world works from the very beginning. Like, I just have a problem with like the principles and the basic like principles of how the world works, like in an inverted world. So they can't breathe oxygen in an inverted person can't breathe oxygen, right?
Well, it's because it's going the opposite direction, kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why they take inverted oxygen with them.
Well, the lungs are like pushing air out, right? They're not able to suck in air. That's the problem.
Something to that extent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the air is not inverted with them, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
So if your lungs can't take in inverted like air, then why? So everything that, like, human anatomy is inverted, right?
Well, no. Okay, so air is a...
supplement?
Is, yeah, the air is a substance. and that is interacting with his body.
So, like, if you were going back in time, you'd still take a shit normal, is what Peter's saying.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, but, like, the air that you, the air that you're breathing has to is not going in the right way, I guess. It's a substance that you can't intake into your body. Yeah, don't even, like, that's a hard road to follow, Chris. Chris,
don't try to understand it, just accept it. Just
kidding. Okay.
Like your favorite quote.
So, okay, but later in the movie, they go back to conventional timeline, right? Yeah. Like, after they go back into the Freeport.
Yeah.
So, after that, they go back to normal, but the world is still going backwards.
Well, it depends what part you're talking about. Which part?
Like when they get on the ship.
Yeah, and they had oxygen with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he had the whole face mask on and shit when he was fighting himself.
Well, like after that, because he takes the mask back off, like after he jumps back.
Yeah, they go back and forth a lot.
Yeah, that's the problem like I'm having. Like, because when they, so he's... He's now, like, after that fight, and he goes through the door, and Robert Pattinson and Kat, they go through the door as well. And mm-hmm. So they all go back to normal, but the world is still going backwards. Like, I thought that the door is supposed to create or force the world back into conventional, their world.
Yeah, I thought it did. Maybe I gotta watch that part again.
Because, like, after they leave the Freeport, and they go onto the ship to go back to the...
In the boat?
On the boat.
When she got shot?
No, the boat that Priya gives them.
Okay.
You know the big boat where all the soldiers are?
Yep.
And they're all like, they're all training and they're all backwards?
Yeah, they might have, I don't know. I'm trying to see if they... Went inverted again without even showing it, maybe.
Because I thought they did have, like, another inversion. Yeah, I know that they had another inversion.
it's so hard to talk about.
Like, door.
It's like, really confusing.
On that ship, yeah. It is really hard. That's why it loses me. Like, after they... when he goes into the inversion converter or whatever. Like the first time, like after that, it just like goes off the rails for me. But how did they? So are the whole team like Ives, Aaron Taylor Johnson's character,
yeah.
Him and his whole team are from the future as well.
It sounds like they are. Yeah.
Okay. Because that's what I had trouble like understanding too. Like, so there's. There's 9 pieces of the
device.
Yeah, the algorithm or whatever mm-hmm. it is. I wish that they would have told the story of like that, how they created that like piece of technology. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that sounds like a more interesting story than the origin of John David Washington's career, you know. Mm.
You know, then you're probably going to like his next movie, Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer,
Nolan,
yeah.
Nolan's
yeah. Next movie. It sounds good.
Atom Bomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think he's going to like stick to the to history or like
I hope so.
Okay. I kind of hope he kind of goes off the rails and like makes it into like some kind of like
Inglorious Bastards or something.
Well, yeah. I don't mean to like go off topic so much. You mind if I say something?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so in Oppenheimer, there's a cool conversation like a historical conversation where they made a nuclear bomb, right? The first nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, like nuclear fusion is how the sun works, right? So they literally put a bomb on, or they put the sun on, a sun on the planet, right?
Yeah.
They made a mini sun and it was on the Earth. And I kind of want them to deep it or to dive into that in the movie. And I want them to go into the fact that they made a calculation that 3% chance that the Earth's atmosphere would burn up.
Ignite.
With that bomb.
Like it would ignite.
That's yeah. crazy.
It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. It's fucking stupid.
And they took that chance. They took the chance to test it and they took another chance to drop it. And a group of scientists sat around and made that decision for all humanity. Right? They decided that it was worth the chance rather than a Nazi world, you know?
Well, the same thing happened, too, like when, what was it called? The Atom Smasher?
Yeah, the Hadron.
Yeah, like it might create a black hole, but I don't think it's going to. So they just
Yeah. Literally.
That's why we're all screwed. You know what I mean? Like, we're all fucked. I got a little sci-fi question for you guys, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy because the universe is, like, super old, right? Old as shit.
Yeah.
And we can see pretty far, and we don't see fucking anybody out there. We don't see anybody, right? Yeah. So, like, what's really kind of scary is that, like, if for as old as the universe is, there should be like a shit ton of people out there, but there's nobody. You know what I mean? Like, we don't see anybody yet. Like, if it's a billion years old, then you'd think there'd be colonies all over the fucking place, right?
Yeah, but what about the Phoenix Lights, bro?
Alright, so there's my...
so your question is, since we can see so far, how come we can't see anything right now?
As far as old as the universe is, if there was any civilization, then they should have, and if they did expand, then they would have spread across the universe. You know what I mean? And we can look back in time, and we don't see shit. We don't see anything anywhere.
Yeah, that's a very common question, and it's way off topic, but I'll say that's a very, how old is humanity? And that question has just been asked like within the last 100 years.
What's crazy is, and
we've only been looking for a very small amount of time, and there's a lot of sky also.
Yeah.
Our Hubble telescope that's out right now is taking some very...
crazy, like, pictures.
Amazing pictures on a daily basis, it seems like.
Yeah.
Well, they just replaced it, too, with the James E. Webb telescope.
Yep. Which is even better.
Yeah.
I forgot who said it, but... So this movie deals with time travel, and they said, how do we know time travel doesn't exist? And they said, because no one's fucking coming back in time and telling us about it. Like, no one has done that in the past at all. It's not happening. So it doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can go, a long time. So let's just finish this deep dive. Who's this? It's still Chris.
That sounds like...
Well, that kind of, ties into this movie a little bit, too. Because, they talk about, how the movie character supposedly... can communicate with the future, and the future can communicate with the past.
I don't think he says it like 3 or 4 times though. He says it's already happened, or what's the phrase he says though?
Yeah. So like, what's happened is happened.
Yeah, it's not that he's communicating with them. It's that it's already fated though. You know what I mean?
No, so there's been dialogue in the movie where he is literally communicating with a group of people in the future.
How? Like, through what means? Like, text messaging or some shit? Or what? Like, what do you mean?
It didn't show. It doesn't show. But the lady who thought she was the protagonist, Priya, she tells the protagonist, somebody is communicating with him from the future.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
And sending back these, you know.
And that... brings up a whole other world of questions.
I'm not even trying to follow it though.
Yeah.
What was your question?
Well, my question was if you went back into the past, does that past become your new future, or do you stay on the same timeline, or do you create an alternate reality?
Oh, in this movie, it kind of shows it as the same timeline because he's driving and then he sees himself and then he goes back in time and he catches the case and all that.
Yeah.
But it is like a like a linear timeline which goes back and forth.
Actually. Yeah, I don't think this. I don't think there is a separate timeline ever in this movie at all. In any
no.
Like, it continuously shows what happened in the past into the future, like, tying it all back together.
But I heard that that is impossible. Like, if you... Well, I guess... Yeah, like... I don't know.
How many things in like, your deep dive are going to be, like, time time travel? No,
I'm very curious what you're going to say.
Well, in the very beginning, the scientist, the woman scientist, she says that what the inversion, that the inversion is a radiation. It's a type of radiation, right? So if it's a type of radiation, then it should only be localized like within a certain amount of space, right?
Okay.
Like it doesn't affect the entire universe, right?
Okay. I don't remember that exactly, but in the movie, I remember talking about radiation. I don't remember the line.
The thing that's moving backwards in time is throwing off radiation, and the person that wanted to hide all of the shit hid the things in radioactive places.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, that's right. Okay. So, do you think... okay. Do you think that pancreatic cancer was from all the radiation?
Yeah. I think he was dying from
radiation. Oh, yeah, for sure. He's a fucking insane. Okay. He's like, no one else wanted to fuck with it, remember? You know?
Yeah. He had his hazmat suit on and shit, or his radioactive suit on, and he went out there looking for it, knowing that he's going to not live a long life, but die young and rich.
Yeah. Do you think that he, like, did he not, like, agree with or, like, believe in the beliefs of the future, that destroying the past was would change the future then? Or, like, do you think he's just a vindictive, like, bastard?
Both, probably.
I think he's a vindictive bastard. He's a spoiled asshole.
If I can't have you, if I can't have the world, then nobody can.
He's fucking insane. Yeah. He's just an asshole.
All right, I have more questions, but, like, I'll leave it at that.
All right, David, you got anything?
No, I already did all mine. All
right, so I know I asked you guys to watch this movie multiple times, and like you said, David, if that is like the, if you think that is his that Neil is Kat's son, you'd probably like it a lot more. You should watch it again. You might actually like it more after like your third watch. You might. There's like five.
You're lines probably right. There. Yeah, but. Like, once again, I think it's bad storytelling, though. If that's not, like, my mind would have been blown if at the end of it, like, it would have nodded towards that, you know what I mean? You shouldn't, like, it's a fallacy that something that great is not obvious, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, okay, so...
So if he like started out, when he first met the protagonist in the future, mm-hmm. and he goes back in time like 5, 10, 20 years, mm-hmm. did he de-age?
No, that's the problem that I have with it.
For a long like, time.
If he's going back to when he was 7, that means he has to go back and wear that stupid face mask for like 20 years or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like 10. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like. That's why I think like Audrey likes this movie and I like this movie is because he did it for his mom. You know? That's probably the main reason like...
Oh, that's some hard shit.
I think a lot of people who like it, like really like it because of that, you know?
Yeah.
It is. It's a good story. Like, yeah, that is cool. I just wish that it would have portrayed it though.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Watch it one more time. Tell me what you think. And then we'll do another episode.
I would have been mad if, like at the end of Inception, if they didn't, like, if they were just, imagine Inception and him not spinning the top and everyone just taking it as that he was in real life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be a shit show, you know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't be a great ending. That's one of the greatest endings ever.
All right, so I'll go last. We'll end it on a good note. So let's start with David. What was your rating for this film?
I'll give it a 6 out of 10. I think it's a great concept. It's not a horrible movie. I don't hate any of the shit in there. I thought some of the stuff was funny. I don't know if I will watch it again. Maybe if here you want to watch it again, we'll sit down and watch whatever. But like I said,
if we watch it again, like I'm gonna be talking through the whole fucking movie, asking questions.
Yeah, I think that he was so excited that maybe he thought he wanted to focus on things that were more exciting than the things that were important. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes perfect sense. And it's kind of, I mean, we bring up RPGs in every fucking episode, right? Might as well do it here. But if this was like a module and you could use like one of the 100 things he put in this movie and really accentuate that thing, it probably would have been better.
Yeah.
This movie would have been better. Right, Devin?
Yeah, it's just basic storytelling was just confusing. You can't tell a story and have, like, I don't even try to understand the time travel shit, and that doesn't bother me that much because it's, I'm not gonna get it, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, they're just the regular stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't make sense, or it all made sense, it just was, I didn't understand it, you know, so I had to rewind it, whatever. But this movie did get good ratings, I think. Like,
yeah, I think it got like 7 or 8
7.5
across the board.
High as shit. So would I give it a 6.5? All right.
Well, you gave it the 6, and then now you're saying 6.5, so we'll leave it there.
Did I say 6 first?
Yeah.
I'll stick with my 6. Let's hear Chris's. Let's hear Chris's 1.
No, I didn't give it a 1. I don't know. There's very, I don't even think I've seen a movie that's a 1. Probably because I'm really picky about my movies and I don't watch like complete trash. But this movie was, you know, it was very original. It was very unique. That's what I like about Christopher Nolan. You know, he takes chances with his movies. And I'm glad that there's producers out there that, you know, that want to roll the dice and fucking see what he has to show, you know, the world. But I think he rolled the dice and it came out snake eyes on this one, dude. So I'm gonna give this movie a 4.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say a 2. Okay.
Yeah, I could see. I think your guys' feedback is pretty like spot on, actually.
If Chris watches it again, it's not gonna be a 4. It's not gonna get better though.
Probably
not.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's pretty typical with like a lot of movies we watch. Some of us just doesn't rub right, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I really did not like this movie the first time I watched it. I thought it was too complex. It moved too fast, and in all honesty, I couldn't hear what the fuck they were saying for a good portion of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you watch it the second time then?
Because in all honesty, Audrey wanted to watch it because of Robert Pattinson. And I muscled through it, and then I kind of started thinking about it more and more, and I like his directing. I like his storytelling. But this one was, it was, for me, it's like the max it could go. It can't be more than this or else.
What do you mean?
It would be entertaining.
Okay.
Like complex-wise, you know?
It's like 12 pounds of shit in a 10-pound bucket or something.
Yeah, 20 pounds of crazy in a 10-pound bag.
Yeah. Okay.
But, but like, in all honesty, I picked this movie for David because I know he likes cerebral movies. And I thought this is like the most cerebral movie literally I could ever fucking think of. So, alright, so this movie, I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to give it 8.5.
You gave it the half I took away.
I know.
Yeah, I think, in all honesty, if I watch it like 3 more times, I'll enjoy it more and more and more. Because I'm probably going to catch something I missed the first time. But I can't take much more than that, though. Yeah.
This movie. Christopher Nolan, thanks you for putting up with it.
Yeah. So,
all right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast. You guys can send us a message at Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast at gmail.com. And we'll leave it in the show notes. Let us know who you think has the sexiest voice out of the three of us. We'll put that up like on a poll or something. I don't know. All right, guys. Jesus thanks. Christ. See you next time. Good night.
All right. Good night, guys.
Mission complete.